Hello again. Welcome to episode 19 of our college football podcast, The Fifth Quarter. I'm your host, John Shomo. In this episode, we will review the first ever college football playoff weekend on campus, if you will. Four games played on college campuses, some of the most historic venues in the sport, as it happens, which was pretty cool to see. If you were hoping for close games, it probably wasn't your weekend, but there are some interesting developments, and we'll review those. We'll talk about Lane Kiffin being a little ridiculous, and then we'll move on and talk about a couple of regular bowl games that are coming up. We're not going to make any predictions this week, as we usually do. We'll go over how we did on last week's predictions. We'll make our picks for the four playoff games that happen New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. We'll make them in our next episode. So let's get started. It was the first ever, as I said, playoff weekend on campus. It started Friday evening in South Bend, Indiana, at Notre Dame Stadium, where Notre Dame jumped out early. Jeremiah Love popped a 98-yard touchdown run in the first quarter. That's the longest run in college football playoff history, usurping the run by Ezekiel Elliott against Alabama on January 1st, 2015 in the Sugar Bowl. And Indiana never seemed to recover from that. It was kind of like a stunning blow. They fell down big in the fourth quarter. You knew the game was over when Kurt Cignetti decided to punt down three scores with about 10 minutes to go in the game. Indiana did rally and lost only by 10, 27-17. But it really was not a game that the outcome was very much in doubt ever in the game. Notre Dame will move on to play January 1st, the evening of January 1st, in the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans against the Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia will be without Carson Beck, their quarterback. He may not play again for Georgia with that elbow injury. So that'll be interesting. Notre Dame's got a pretty good defense. We'll see how that runs here. We'll know more about that as the week goes on. The second game was Saturday, noon Eastern time at University Park, Pennsylvania. A whiteout at Happy Valley for the Penn State Nittany Lions, and it shook up the SMU Mustangs, especially their fine quarterback, Kevin Jennings. Kevin Jennings was the reason the Mustangs made it to playoff in the first place. He was the replacement quarterback for that team after the third or fourth game of the season. He really ignited the offense, made them very explosive, and without him, they're not playing in the playoff, I'm sure. Unfortunately, he played a little shook. I don't know whether or not, you know, you don't know unless you know the guy. It looked like the moment might have been a little too big for him. He had an easy touchdown pass on a 4th-and-1 rollout, their first possession. It would have put him ahead. He threw it way behind the receiver, and it was intercepted in the end zone. Next possession, he threw one right to a Penn State defender who took it all the way back for a pick six. Did it again their next possession, threw two pick sixes. Penn State had scored 14 points, none of them on offense. It was a really a nightmarish first half for Jeremiah Love. Again, I'm not going to sit here and knock the guy. He's a great player. He's the reason SMU was in the playoff in the first place. It didn't work out for him at all. I don't know whether the moment was too big or not. But big game James Franklin finally got a big one. Won the playoff game. They now move to the Fiesta Bowl on December 31st, New Year's Eve, versus the Boise State Broncos. One more note about that game. I think SMU was kind of knocked backwards by the environment a bit. They don't play in any place like Happy Valley. SMU's home stadium, which is called Gerald J. Ford Stadium, not Gerald R. Ford, has a capacity of 32,000 fans. Beaver Stadium is three times that large, plus. And there were over 100,000 fans making a lot of noise, as usual, in a whiteout environment. And I don't think they ever experienced anything like that. It doesn't seem like they did. It seemed like the environment really shook SMU, and particularly their quarterback. Good for Penn State. The fans managed to help the team out there. The third game, played at Darrell K. Royal Texas Memorial Stadium in Austin, pitted the Clemson Tigers against the Texas Longhorns. Texas had just a little too much for Clemson. It was a pretty good game. Clemson showed fight. That game was more competitive, I guess, for four quarters than the other three were. The Longhorns did suffer a couple of key injuries to a couple guys that deserve watching here as we move on. They will play again on January 1st in the evening, early afternoon, actually, in the Peach Bowl against the Arizona State Sun Devils. Clemson put up a fight. Hats off to them. They were a little bit outmanned, I thought, in the matchup, but Texas came out on top, and they will move on. The fourth game, down at the Horseshoe in Columbus, the Tennessee Volunteers, the 9 seed against the 8 seed Ohio State Buckeyes. That was the Buckeye team that we all thought we would see on November 30th. They channeled their frustrations. They worked it out somehow in the 3 weeks intervening between that disaster and Saturday night, and went out there and instead of playing not to lose, they played to win the game. They let her rip, and boy, was it fun to watch. It was a dominant performance in the first December game in Ohio Stadium history. They just about ran Tennessee out of the building. Tennessee did rally a little bit, cut it to 21-10 at halftime. But then the Buckeyes came out, stuffed them, scored a touchdown, and the rout was on. It was 42-17, with Tennessee scoring a late touchdown to make it 17. So a great win for Ohio State. They got to feel a lot better about themselves. And now they move on to a rematch against the Oregon Ducks, the Big Ten champions, which sounds still very fun. It sounds weird to say that. This looks like a very traditional Pac-12 Big Ten Rose Bowl, doesn't it? In fact, Oregon and Ohio State have met in the Rose Bowl under those circumstances a couple of times that I'm just remembering off the top of my head. On January 1st, 1958, they won the national championship, beating Oregon in the Rose Bowl. That team was led by co-captain Jim Houston, one of Woody Hayes' co-captains, who went on to play for the Browns. The other one was January 1st, 2010, where Terrell Pryor led the Buckeyes to a 26-17 win over Oregon, Chip Kelly's Oregon squad, as I recall, ironically. At least those two times Ohio State and Oregon have met in the Rose Bowl. So this will be at least the third one. I haven't done my historical research on that yet. But they'll play late afternoon Eastern time in the greatest venue in college football, New Year's Day, Pasadena, sunsetting over the San Gabriel Mountains at the end of the third quarter. If you love the sport, you know what I'm talking about, and you can't wait. That ought to be interesting. Ohio State and Oregon played a 32-31 game in October, as most of you know. The Buckeyes coming up 1 second short of attempting a game-winning field goal when Will Howard slid 1 second too late and couldn't get the timeout in time. So those two teams ought to play a whale of a game. It should be a great Rose Bowl game to look forward to. Those are your four victors and what they have in front of them this coming 10 days from now or so as we record this. One other issue before we look at and look ahead to the quarterfinals maybe a little bit. Lane Kiffin, the Mississippi coach, was tweeting out or whatever social media platform he uses, kind of ridiculing Indiana and SMU after they really didn't play very well, let's be honest. But Kiffin was like, boy, committee, you really had some great matchups for us, didn't you? Well, you know, here's my response to Lane Kiffin, and I like a lot of what he does. Ole Miss was a very good team this year. He's a very good coach. But here's my response. Kentucky won one SEC game. In fact, they only won one game against any Power Four competitions this year. Guess who they beat? That's right, Ole Miss. Kentucky was 1-7 in the SEC. They beat Mississippi, which cost Mississippi a chance at the college football playoff. They finished 9-3, but with a loss like that, they weren't going to ever get in, and they didn't get in. So, Lane, you know, maybe cut it out. Let's be kind and say cut it out there. I think you're a little bit off base there, pal. Okay. Now, looking at some regular bowl games, I'm not going to talk about all of them. There are a slew of quote-unquote regular bowl games coming in the next week and a half. A couple of note here. Friday night, the 27th of December, a game that used to be one of the marquee bowl games, not one of the big four, but kind of next level from that, the Holiday Bowl out in San Diego. Maybe that's going to be a game. Maybe that's not even going to get played. The reason being, the matchup is Syracuse versus Washington State. Washington State has lost their coach, their quarterback to the transfer portal, and several players have already left the team. They had lost their last three games with all of those people involved, and they're kind of scrambling to put together a team to play in the Holiday Bowl. That's a shame. That game's usually, as I said, a pretty marquee bowl game. Syracuse, just about all of their players are playing. Kyle McCord, their quarterback, is going to play. And that may be not what we're used to seeing, let's put it that way, out of the Holiday Bowl game. That'd be a shame if it was just kind of a mismatch. On Saturday the 28th, Bill Belichick will observe his new team, the North Carolina Tar Heels, in a familiar surrounding to him. They'll be playing at Fenway Park in Boston versus UConn. Now, that'll be really interesting. We'll have to count how many times the telecast focuses their cameras, not on the game, but on Bill Belichick watching from one of the luxury boxes or something at Fenway. Anyway, that'll be interesting to see. Nebraska on the 28th finally gets to play a bowl game for the first time in almost a decade. They will be at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx to face the BC Eagles, Boston College. And I'm sure the whole state of Nebraska will be wrapped in attention with that. The one I'm looking forward to Saturday night, the 28th, is BYU playing Colorado. That's a Big 12 matchup in the Alamo Bowl. That ought to be pretty interesting. Coach Prime's team playing a very good BYU squad. And I don't know that there are a lot of opt-outs coming in that game. That one ought to be worth watching. So looking forward to the Alamo Bowl on Saturday night, the 28th. Let's move on and look at last week's picks. If you haven't listened to us before, we make four picks a week. We've made them throughout the season, starting in late August. Going into this weekend, we were 35 wins, 27 losses, and a tie. It's pretty good. We pick with the spread. We picked the four playoff games this week, and here's how we did. In the Indiana-Notre Dame game, Indiana was a 7.5-point underdog. I picked them. Didn't work out. They lost by 10 points, 27-17. So, doggone it, Cignetti, why'd you have to punt that one time? Anyway, that's the way it went. I lost. SMU-Penn State. SMU was an 8.5-point underdog going into Nittany Lion Land there. As we talked about, Penn State blew them out of the water, 38-10. I had picked the Nittany Lions to cover. So that's a win. In the game at Texas, Clemson was an 11.5-point underdog. I went with that. I thought that was too big of a spread. Boy, they made it close. They fought, but they lost by 14, so that's a loss. And finally, we went with the Buckeyes, 7.5-point favorites at home against Tennessee, and they justified our pick and then some, winning by 25 points. So we split the four playoff games in our bet, on our bets. They're not bets, really. I don't have any money on them. They're our picks. So now we are 37 wins, 29 losses, and a tie on the whole season. Again, we're not going to pick any of the regular bowl games for this week. Realistically, you don't really know who's playing in a lot of these games, which is a shame, really. That's a whole nother issue for a whole nother time. But we'll hold off and we'll make our picks next week on episode 20, right before the four playoff games take place. One playoff game, again, is on New Year's Eve. That'll be the Fiesta Bowl, Penn State and Boise State. The other three games will be on New Year's Day. Notre Dame and Georgia at night in the Sugar Bowl. Texas playing Arizona State early in the Peach Bowl. And late afternoon, early evening, the Buckeyes and the Ducks will play out in Pasadena. So we'll make picks for those games in our next episode. If you have any reason to get in touch with us, if you just want to send us a note or ask a question or contribute in any way to the podcast, please feel free to do so. Our email address is threegoodquestions, T-H-R-E-E, threegoodquestions, @gmail.com. So any comments, questions, or something you want to throw in for the podcast, let us know. It's threegoodquestions@gmail.com. That's going to do it for a rather abbreviated episode of the fifth quarter. Gee, there just weren't that many games to talk about this week, but they were big ones, weren't they? Thanks for listening. As always, you can get us on Spotify. I'm your host, John Shomo. We'll talk to you next week. For those who celebrate, Merry Christmas, everybody.